Hello, and welcome back to the Deep Dive. We are so glad to have you with us today. Usually we're tackling these massive abstract concepts, the future of AI maybe, or the history of currency. But today we are zooming in. We're looking at something you probably touch a dozen times a day without even, thinking about it. We're talking about wood.
But not just wood in a general sense. We're looking at a specific stack of research that focuses on a very particular conflict in the world of design and craftsmanship. The source material is titled The Aesthetics of Raw versus Finished Wood. And honestly, it's a lot more contentious than it sounds.
I have to admit, when I first saw the topic, I thought, okay, wood is wood. But digging into this reading, it's actually a philosophical debate, isn't it? It's basically a battle for the soul of the material. On one side, you have the raw purists, and on the other, the finished perfectionists.
Exactly. And the mission for this deep dive is to figure out why that distinction matters so much. Because, according to the sources we have, the choice between raw and finished isn't just about whether you want a shiny table or a matte one. It's about how we relate to the natural world.
Are we trying to control it or are we trying to live with it?
That's the question.
So let's set the stage. We got this comparison, raw versus finished, to the uninitiated, which, let's be honest, includes me until about a week ago. Raw just sounds like unfinished.
Yeah, like incomplete.
Right, like the carpenter forgot to do the last step. But the source material treats raw as this like deliberate high-level aesthetic choice.
And that is the key shift. Historically, sure, unfinished meant incomplete. But the research here highlights a modern pivot, especially in movements like biophilic design or the Japanese concept of wabi-sabi, where raw is the goal. When the text talks about the aesthetic of raw wood, it's talking about wood that is still biologically reactive.
Biologically react. That sounds active. Like, is my table doing something while I'm not looking?
In a way, yes. And this is where the raw aesthetic gets really interesting. The source points out that raw wood is hygroscopic. It breathes, it takes in moisture from your room, and it releases it. It expands and contracts. And crucially, it oxidizes.
Okay, unpack that for us. Oxidation. That's what happens to an apple when you cut it, right? It turns brown.
Right, and wood does the same thing, just a lot slower. The source material describes how raw cherry wood, for instance, starts as this light pinkish tone. But if you leave it raw and exposed to sunlight, it deepens into this rich, dark, russet color over a few years. It's a living surface. The raw aesthetic isn't a static snapshot, it's a slow motion movie.
So if I choose a raw aesthetic, I'm signing up for a piece of furniture that changes over time. It's not going to look the same in 5 years as it does today.
Precisely. And that is part of the allure that's described in the text. There's a tactile honesty to it. One of the articles in our stack mentions the thermal feedback of raw wood.
Thermal feedback, what's that?
Well, because there's no layer of plastic or resin between you and the grain, raw wood actually feels warmer to the touch.
Oh, interesting.
It doesn't suck the heat out of your hand the way, say, a glass or a heavily varnished surface does.
That's a really cool detail. It's like the difference between holding a living hand and a mannequin hand. One has warmth.
That's a great analogy.
But I have to play devil's advocate here, and the source material touches on this too. Raw wood sounds like a nightmare to live with. If I spill a glass of red wine on a raw oak table, that's not patina. That's a disaster, right?
Well, this is where the debate gets heated. The source material argues that for the raw enthusiast, that stain is actually part of the aesthetic.
You're kidding.
No, it's the recording of life. It's the idea that the object has a history written on it.
Okay, that is a very romantic way to view a wine stain. It's not a mess, darling. It's a memory.
It is romantic, but it's also a specific worldview. It accepts vulnerability. Raw wood is porous. It has what we call an open grain. If you run your hand across raw oak or ash, you feel the ridges, the pores, the actual cellular structure of the tree. The source argues that this texture grounds us.
Rounds up.
Yeah, it triggers a primal soothing response because our brains recognize the organic pattern.
So raw is about texture, warmth, and just accepting a bit of chaos. It's the material saying, hey, I used to be a tree and I'm still kind of acting like one.
Exactly. It's an aesthetic of submission to the material. You aren't forcing the wood to be perfect. You're letting it be wood.
All right, so that's the raw corner of the ring. Now let's look at the heavyweight champion, finished wood. Because let's be real, 99% of the wood we see, floors, cabinets, guitars, is finished.
For sure.
The source material explicitly contrasts raw with finished. So what is the philosophical definition of finished here?
If raw is submission to nature, finished is, well, you could say it's the domination of it. And I don't mean that in a negative way. The source defines the finished aesthetic as an exercise in preservation and enhancement. When we apply a finish, whether it's a lacquer, a polyurethane, or a French polish, we are essentially freezing time.
So unlike that raw cherry wood that gets darker, a finished piece is locked in.
Ideally, yes.
Yeah.
We are creating a barrier. The text describes this as optical perfection. Think about a grand piano. That high gloss black finish, that is the ultimate example of the finished aesthetic.
Yeah, you can see a reflection in it.
It's uniform, it's impervious to moisture, and it reflects light perfectly. You aren't touching the wood anymore, you're touching the finish.
That's a distinction I hadn't really thought about. When I touch a shiny dining table, I'm touching dried polyurethane, I'm touching plastic, essentially.
In many modern cases, yes. The source material calls this the film-forming aesthetic. The goal of a film finish is to fill in all those pores we talked about earlier.
Oh, okay.
You take that open, rough texture of the oak, and you just fill it until it's perfectly flat. You eliminate the tactile variance.
Which sounds kind of sterile when you put it that way. But the source also talks about something called chatoyance. That sounds fancy. What is that?
It's a great term. Chatoyance is the cat's eye effect. When you put a finish, especially an oil or a shellac, onto certain woods, it refracts light down into the wood fibers. It makes the grain pop.
Uh-huh.
It gives it a 3D holographic look.
Oh, I know what you mean. Like on the back of a violin where the stripes look like they're moving deep inside the wood as you tilt it.
Exactly that. You cannot get that effect with raw wood. Raw wood just reflects light off the surface, so it looks flat and matte.
I see.
Finished wood allows light to penetrate and then bounce back.
Yeah.
So the argument for the finished aesthetic isn't just about protection. It's about celebration. It's saying, look at the complex beauty of this grain, and then using chemistry to amplify it.
So raw is about the feel and the reality of the wood. And finished is about the visuals and the idealization of the wood.
That's a brilliant synthesis.
Mm-hmm.
The source frames finished wood as an idealized version of nature. It's nature, but cleaner.
Nature, but waterproof.
Nature, but it doesn't give you splinters.
Right. And that brings us to the V's, the conflict.
Uh-huh.
The source title is The Aesthetics of Raw versus Finished Wood. And this is where I want to get practical, because we have these two schools of thought, but, you know, we live in the real world. Why does the source frame this as a conflict? Why can't we have both?
Because physically, you kind of can't. The source argues that as soon as you apply a film finish to protect the wood, you kill the raw aesthetic.
You kill it.
You lose the thermal warmth, you lose the open texture. It's a zero-sum game. You trade tactility for durability.
That's the tragedy of the kitchen table, isn't it? I want that farmhouse, raw, rustic look, but I also have kids who spill juice. So I put a matte varnish on it and suddenly the magic is kind of gone.
That is exactly the tension the text explores. And it mentions that modern industry is trying to cheat this. There are new finishes described in the source, invisible lacquers that try to look raw but act finished.
Oh, really?
But the purists in the source material argue that it's an uncanny valley. It looks like wood, but it feels like plastic. It confuses the brain.
It's like fake fruit. It looks perfect, but you pick it up and the weight is all wrong.
Exactly.
So this V's, this conflict, is really about what we value more. Do we value the sensory experience or do we value control?
Control is the key word. The finished aesthetic is an aesthetic of control. We control the color, the shine, the longevity. We decide what the wood looks like.
And the raw aesthetic
is an aesthetic of release.
Yeah.
You are accepting that the sun, the air, and your own hands are going to alter this object over time.
There's a section in the source that touches on patina of use. It compares a raw wood handle on an old hammer to a varnished handle.
Yes, that's a powerful image. The raw handle absorbs the oils from the worker's sweat. It gets polished by the friction of the hand. Over 20 years, that raw wood becomes incredibly smooth and personal.
It conforms to the user.
Mm-hmm. A varnished handle. The varnish eventually chips and cracks. It degrades. Raw wood evolves. Finished wood degrades.
Wow. Raw wood evolves. Finished wood degrades. That is a mic drop moment. Because when you finish something, you're creating a state of perfection that can only get worse.
Right.
But if you leave it raw, it might actually get better.
In the right context, yes. Think about a scuffed leather jacket versus a scuffed plastic raincoat.
Mm-hmm.
The leather looks cooler as it ages.
Yeah, it has character.
The plastic just looks broken. The source suggests that raw wood behaves like leather. It heals and incorporates damage. Finished wood is brittle. Once you scratch the surface, you've broken the seal, and the illusion is shattered.
This is making me look at my IKEA furniture very differently. I mean, that stuff is the ultimate finished product, right? It's not even wood half the time. It's a photograph of wood glued to sawdust.
That's the extreme end of the finished spectrum. It's pure simulation.
Mm.
But the source warns us against being too snobbish about this. We have to remember the utility. We started finishing wood thousands of years ago for a reason. Raw wood rots. It warps. It gets infected with fungus. The finished aesthetic is what allowed us to build ships, durable homes, and clean surfaces for surgery or cooking.
Right. I don't want a raw wooden cutting board for raw chicken that absorbs everything. I want that sealed. So the finished aesthetic is also an aesthetic of hygiene and safety.
Absolutely. The source makes it clear. Aesthetics can't be entirely divorced from function. But what's fascinating is that in the 21st century, we've conquered most of the functional problems. We have plastic. We have stainless steel. We don't need wood to be sterile anymore. So the return to raw wood in high-end design is a luxury choice. It's saying, I can afford to have a table that is fragile and alive because I have a stainless steel counter for the messy stuff.
That's a really interesting cultural point. Raw used to mean you couldn't afford paint. Now raw means you can afford to care for something delicate.
Exactly. It implies a slower pace of life.
Yeah.
If you have a raw wood floor, which is mentioned in the text as a trend in Scandinavian design, you can't just mop it with harsh chemicals.
Oh, right.
You have to soap it, scrub it gently, treat it like skin. It demands a relationship, a polyurethane floor. You just Swiffer it and forget it.
It demands a relationship. I like that. It circles back to what we said at the start. This is all about how we relate to our environment.
And that's the V's. It's a choice between a passive relationship, where the object serves you and requires nothing, and an active one, where you and the object interact.
I want to zoom out for a second. We've been talking about furniture and floors, but does the source mention how this applies to architecture? I'm thinking about those cedar-clad houses that turn gray over time.
Yes, the silvering of cedar or teak is a major part of the raw discussion. In the U.S., we often have this obsession with the new wood look. We stain our decks to keep them looking like they were just cut.
Yeah.
But the source discusses the Japanese aesthetic, where that silver-gray oxidation is the desired final state. They designed the building knowing it will turn gray.
So resisting the raw process is kind of a losing battle.
It is. Nature always wins eventually. The varnish will peel, the stain will fade. The argument for the raw aesthetic is basically, why fight it? Why not design for the aging process rather than trying to freeze the clock at day one?
It's a very human struggle, isn't it? The denial of aging. We do it to our faces and we do it to our decks.
That's a deep connection, but yes, the finished aesthetic is, in some ways, a denial of mortality.
Mm.
It's an attempt to create something immortal and unchanging. The raw aesthetic accepts the cycle.
This brings us to a concept in the notes, visual silence. Can you explain that? It was in the section about interior design.
Visual silence refers to how raw wood absorbs light rather than reflecting it. If you walk into a room with high gloss floors and lacquered cabinets, there's a lot of visual noise, glare, reflections, high contrast.
Yeah, you need sunglasses.
Raw wood, because of that open texture we discussed, diffuses light. It softens the room. It makes the space feel quieter and calmer.
That makes total sense. It's why a log cabin feels cozier than a mirrored elevator. It's literally easier on the eyes.
Right. And in a world of screens and neon and glass, the source argues that our eyes are hungry for that visual silence. We crave the matte, the textured, the non-reflective. That's why raw is having such a moment right now. It's an antidote to the digital glare.
So we've covered the biology of the wood, the physics of light, the history of hygiene, and the philosophy of aging. This stack of articles really went places.
It did. It took a simple binary raw versus finished and showed us that it's actually a spectrum of human values.
Let's try to bring this home for the listener. We've defined raw as the living, breathing, vulnerable state that offers warmth and texture. And we've defined finished as the protected, idealized, controlled state that offers durability and visual pop.
And we've identified the V's not just as a fight, but as a trade-off. You are trading maintenance for character, or you're trading tactile warmth for optical perfection.
So here is what I'm taking away from this. Next time I'm looking at a piece of furniture or even a wooden spoon in my kitchen, I'm not just seeing wood. I'm seeing a decision. Someone decided where to stop the process.
Exactly. Every object tells a story of where the maker drew the line. Did they stop at nature? Or did they push through to refinement?
And for you, the listener, the question is, what do you want your home to feel like? The source material challenges us to ask if we are surrounding ourselves with things we can't touch or things that touch us back.
It challenges us to consider if we are willing to let our environment age with us.
So here is my final thought, and it's something I want you to mull over as you go about your day. Look at the wooden surfaces around you, your desk, your floor, your door. Ask yourself, are you interacting with the wood or are you interacting with the plastic shell on top of the wood? And if you stripped that shell away, what kind of relationship would you have with the material underneath?
It might be messy, but it might just be worth it.
A huge thank you to our expert for unpacking this with me today. It's been a fascinating look at the aesthetics of raw and finished wood.
My pleasure. It's always good to scratch beneath the surface.
Pun intended. Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.